I haven't worked on the conscientious objection for a few years now, but I worked a bit in the past. So, but there is a question that I never really dealt with in my publication, which is precisely the question that is being asked here. So whether healthcare is a special case that warrants some like right to conscientious objection or not. And also, I think this is also what the other speaker was supposed to talk about. So the question of the talk was, is healthcare a special case? So I want to say something about that. So I put together some notes earlier. I want to distinguish two questions. So one question is whether healthcare is a special case. And the other question is what follows from, in terms of our supposed right to conscientious objection. Okay, thank you very much. Oh, that's very helpful. Because I have some notes here. So I think it's very important to ask. So this question is very important in the debate on conscientious objection, because if we can demonstrate that healthcare is a special case, then some of the objections to the case for conscientious objection could be prevented. So every time I hear people talking about conscientious objection, so what I think is that, if you allow conscientious objection, say, to abortion in the healthcare context, then we should allow conscientious objection to basically everything in every profession. And that sounds like a reductio, so we don't want to get there. So we want to set some limits, so to constrain this right to conscientious objection. And one way of doing that is precisely to argue that healthcare is a special case. I recently wrote a blog post on the Practical Ethics blog of the Hero Center that was a response to Professor Oderberg's claims about conscientious objection. And this was a long reply by David, so I invite everybody to have a look at that. And in that case, I used this example. So which is a real example, because when I moved to Australia a few years ago, for a few months, I worked as a waiter in a restaurant. And I was sorry?
Which one?
It's called Il Carretto. It's an Italian restaurant on Nicholson Street. Yeah, sorry. not a very good one. So. And I was a vegetarian. And what I would normally do is serve meat to people, to customers. And I felt a bit uncomfortable doing that. But I never thought that I had a right to conscientious objection in that case. So because that was my job. I was paid for doing that. So I did that. And I could use this as an argument against conscientious objection in healthcare. So I can say, why would a vegetarian waiter be exempted from serving meat? So why should doctors be exempted from performing certain procedures? We need an argument for why healthcare is a special case to prevent this kind of objection. So some people think that the special case can be built on the basis of the fact that medicine and healthcare are a moral enterprise. So that's what Mark Wicklair says in his book about conscientious objection, or in his paper, I don't remember. So he has this thing, so healthcare is special because it's a moral enterprise, because ethical judgments are so intertwined, so connected to clinical judgments, that it's impossible to tell them apart. So ethics is an intrinsic part of healthcare delivery. So that's why conscience plays a big role in healthcare delivery, and that's why there should be a right to conscientious objection. I think that the claim is true, that the claim that healthcare is a moral enterprise is true. I can give you a few examples, but it's pretty clear that many decisions in the healthcare context involve important, very important ethical values. Now, that's also true for other professions, but in the case of healthcare, we have values such as health, even the life of people, and these are really basic important values. So it is true that often when doctors make clinical judgments, these judgments have an ethical component. So you can think, of course, if you think of cases like abortion, contraception, end-of-life decisions, that's pretty clear. And these are the commonest cases of conscientious objection to date. So, but ethical judgments are involved in many other cases of clinical judgments. So John talked a bit about public health before. So public health ethics is also a kind of consideration that is relevant to healthcare delivery. So there is a big problem today with antimicrobial resistance, for example. So every time a doctor prescribes antibiotics to a patient, the use of antibiotics is contributing to the erosion of the common good of antimicrobial effectiveness. So the more antibiotics people use, the less effective antibiotics become for other people. So in this case, there is a trade-off to be made between the patients, the individual interests of the patient, and the collective interest. And that's an ethical judgment. So should the doctor prioritize the patient? Should the doctor prioritize the collective? That's a case of an ethical judgment. And more in general, so when we think about allocation of scarce health resources, or which antimicrobials are an instance. So antimicrobial effectiveness is a scarce resource. But when we have to decide whether to use certain resources for certain patients or not, that's an ethical decision, right? So there are considerations about justice, fairness, utility, so maximization of utility, and it's a trade-off of values. So these are all ethical judgments. So it's not just about abortion. Conscientious objection, and David was very clear about this when he wrote his declaration on conscientious objection. So there are many cases, and there will be even more cases in the future as medical technology advances. So maybe healthcare is a special case because it's a moral enterprise in a sense in which other professions are not. John used this quote before by Kennedy, so I didn't know this. But I tried to write down the quote. It might not be correct, but Kennedy said, as reported by John, the majority of decisions taken by doctors are not technical, but moral and ethical instead. So about what ought to be done in light of certain values. Now, I'm not sure that they are moral and ethical instead. So I'm not sure that they are not technical, but are only more. So they are both. They are both. But that's certainly true. So it is true that it's a special case. It's a moral enterprise. And the goods at stake, like health and life of people, often depend on medical clinical decisions. So does this make medicine a special case? Yes, it does. I think it is. The relevant question here is, what are the implications of this for conscientious objection? So Mark Wicler takes it for granted that since medicine is a special case, then doctors' conscience should play a special role in healthcare delivery. And I have the feeling that this is already the assumption behind this workshop and this project. So the title clearly suggests that. So what is it about the healthcare context that makes it appropriate or necessary to allow conscientious objection? My answer is nothing, because the implication of the fact that healthcare is a special case is not that conscientious objection should be allowed and the doctor's conscience plays a special role. The implication is rather the opposite, is that we should have clear ethical guidelines to regulate a doctor's conduct, so doctor's profession. So I don't see why the fact that medicine is a moral enterprise implies that ethical values at stake should be decided by doctors for a number of reasons. First of all, because doctors are not moral experts, so there is no reason to think that doctors know better what is morally right and wrong. Second, because doctors' ethical judgments might be in opposition, might run contrary to patients' best interests. For example, in the case of abortion. So if a doctor denies a woman an abortion, that's against the woman's best interest. And a patient's best interest is one of the core values of healthcare. Not the only value, not always, but at least in some cases of abortion is in the best interest of the woman, and a doctor's conscience can be against this value, this core value of medicine. Or the opposite might be true. Sometimes doctors' ethical judgments might prioritize patients' interests over, for example, the collective interest in a way that is ethically questionable, in the case of antimicrobial resistance, for example. So if I'm a doctor and I think it's morally right for me to always give antibiotics to my patient, even for minor infections, self-limiting infections, that might not be the ethically right thing to do, because I also have to think about the public health, about the collective interest. But the point is that we need regulation. We need clear ethical guidelines about what doctors ought to do and when, precisely because there are very important ethical values at stake. And the third reason is that, of course, this is true not only for doctors, but in general, judgments of conscience are not necessarily good judgments. Not all judgments of conscience are consistent with evidence, for example, and evidence is at the basis of medicine. Like, a religious conscience is not consistent, often not consistent with evidence. So we shouldn't have religious conscience inform medical practice because that's not consistent with evidence. We have this case in Italy a few weeks ago. So a doctor was expelled from the medical board because he refused to vaccinate children. He was against vaccination. So he had certain medical values that were opposed to the ethical values of the profession, because that vaccination is good. It's not only a technical judgment, a clinical judgment, is an ethical judgment. So, because it promotes the health and the well-being of individuals and of the collective. So that's a value at stake. So in this case, the doctor's personal conscience was opposed to the value of the profession. So this clearly shows that the fact that there are ethical values involved requires that we discuss about what the ethical values informing the profession should be. The discussion shouldn't be at the bedside, so we shouldn't leave it up to the doctors to decide on a case-by-case basis what to do. So the fact that there are ethical values involved implies that we need to have a discussion about what the values informing good healthcare are or should be. Of course, this should be subject to review, scrutiny. We might want to revise these values regularly on the basis of new evidence, on the basis of new technologies that are introduced. But the important thing is that whatever the doctor does is consistent with the ethical standards of the profession. We cannot really afford to leave it up to the doctor, the individual conscience of the doctor, to decide what to do, because for the reasons I've just said, there is no guarantee that the doctor's conscience will be good in the best interest of the patient or the collective. Doctors might be mistaken. But if we have an open discussion about, for example, well, the clear case is abortion. So is abortion consistent with the values of medicine or is not? I'm happy to consider this should be up for discussion. But once you decide what these values are, these values the professions are, then there is no more reason to leave it up to the doctors to make ethical decisions just because ethical values are so essential to the delivery of healthcare. So ethical values are essential, then let's discuss about what these ethical values are. But I don't see any connection between this consideration and the fact that conscience, doctors' individual conscience, should play such an important role in healthcare delivery. So this is more or less what I wanted to say. Let me see if I put some other notes earlier. I think this is it. Yeah, so I don't know if this was 20 minutes. This is what I could put together. Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, thanks.